From Spark and Anvil and Bioforge, this is Courier, in Chapter 1 of the Bioforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced by a Gemini 2.5.
Deep inside the stone belly of Bioforge, the quiet sorting room smelled of old parchment and warm cedarwood. Courier, a deer tween with quiet eyes and a thick wool coat, sat working at a high oak desk. They were folding a letter no bigger than a single grain of rice, using slow, deliberate movements. They did it slowly, which was exactly the way they did absolutely everything in their unhurried life. A heavy leather satchel hung across their broad, steady shoulders, smelling faintly of trail dust and summer rain. Around them, thousands of tiny paper messages drifted through the air of the workshop like winter snowflakes. They floated on gentle, invisible currents of air, rising and falling without making a single sound. Courier licked a thumb, carefully pressed the edge of the tiny envelope, and sealed it shut. With a gentle nudge of their hoof, they sent the finished letter sailing into the quiet room. A younger cast member named Pip leaned against the doorframe, tapping a nervous rhythm on his knee. "Down the hall, Flicker fires a message across the whole body in half a second," Pip said. He bounced on his heels, his long ears twitching with all of his unused, impatient energy. "You have been folding that single piece of paper for nearly 3 minutes now." Courier did not look up from the neat stack of envelopes resting on the desk. "Flicker sends lightning," Courier said, keeping their voice low and steady. "But I send the mail." They stood up from the stool and walked toward the far wall of the sorting room. A massive, glowing map of a human body hung against the dark stone, pulsing with soft light. Courier released the tiny letter into the air current directly in front of the glowing map. The letter drifted past the glowing blue veins of the arm without stopping for a moment. It floated right over the pulsing red center of the heart, ignoring the organ completely. Finally, the paper clicked into a small golden pocket near the stomach and stayed there. The pocket flared with a warm amber light that illuminated the dark corner of the room. "Watch what my mail does that lightning never could," Courier said, pointing a steady hoof. "It went everywhere, touching every single part of the map before it found its home." Pip squinted at the glowing gold pocket, but only one part actually opened the letter. "Exactly," Courier said. "Only the part with the matching keyhole can read this specific message." They tapped the warm amber light that was still glowing on the wall map. "That pocket just got its instructions. You are low on fuel, so get hungry." Courier sat back down, their heavy wooden chair scraping softly on the stone floor. Nobody shouted at the stomach, and nobody made a sudden angry decision about it. They smiled. A quiet letter simply arrived where it belonged, and now the body will search for food. Pip stopped bouncing on his heels and stared at the glowing map in silence. It just knew? It knew because the letter finally found it. Slow, yes, but it always gets there.
Courier came from a long line of valley post riders who worked the high mountain trails. These were the steady folk who carried letters on hoofback between remote, isolated towns. The peaks were far too high and distant for people to shout across the windy gaps. When Courier was small, they had desperately wanted to be fast like the wind. They used to race the blue message birds through the pine forests and always lost the race. One chilly evening, feeling thoroughly defeated, they sat by the hearth with their grandfather. He was sorting the day's heavy mailbags under the yellow glow of a small oil lamp. "Why does anyone bother with a slow rider when birds exist?" Courier had asked him. Their grandfather did not answer right away, continuing to sort through the pile of letters. He carefully held up a thick, cream-colored envelope, sealed with a dollop of red wax. "This one goes to the miller's daughter, 3 towns over, he said very softly. "It tells her that the winter flour is finally ready for her family to bake." He tapped the red wax seal with a calloused, ink-stained thumb. "If a bird drops this in the wrong yard, it means absolutely nothing to anyone. It is just a scrap of wet paper rotting on the muddy ground." He slid the heavy letter deep into Courier's small canvas satchel and patted it. "A bird throws messages at the world, Courier, but a real courier carries them. We carry the message directly to the right hands, and we put it there. It is slow, yes, but it is always sure and always safe. It is opened only by the one person who truly needed to read the words. Courier had felt something warm and solid settle deep inside their small chest. It was an unhurried feeling, like the comforting weight of a full leather satchel. They realized that losing a race did not matter if you were busy actually arriving. At the time, they did not understand this feeling as anything more than simple pride. But years later, they stood in a room filled with drifting chemical letters at Bioforge. They felt that same settled weight and finally understood the truth of the system. The human body did exactly what their grandfather had done in the mountain valley. It did not shout its urgent needs to the wind or flash them like lightning. Instead, it mailed them through the dark pathways of the flesh. These slow chemical messages were called hormones, and they kept the whole world balanced.
Courier had walked to Bioforge because they believed in the power of slow, steady things. A place that studied the body surely needed to understand the slow mail of life. Mero, the old mentor who managed the deep workshops, met them at the heavy oak door. She was a tall, weathered woman with silver hair and fingers stained with dark writing ink. "The nerves already send lightning-fast signals through the body," she said, leaning heavily on her cane. "Why on earth does a living body need you and your slow letters, too?" Courier did not try to argue with clever words or complicated academic explanations. Instead, they reached into their satchel and pulled out a single blank page of thick paper. With a charcoal pencil, they wrote one simple lowercase word on the sheet: sleep. They folded it twice, licked the edge, and dropped it into the quiet, drifting air currents. Then they stepped back, crossed their arms, and waited patiently for the letter to drift along. The letter drifted on a lazy current, taking the long way around the glowing body map. It floated past the lungs, drifted around the liver, and hovered near the lower spine. "This is taking absolutely forever," Mero said, her sharp eyes testing the young deer tween's patience. "It is," Courier agreed, watching the small paper slide through the warm golden air. The letter finally reached a small blue pocket located right behind the glowing eyes. With a soft click, the paper slid inside, and the pocket locked tightly shut. Slowly, the bright lights of the entire map began to dim and soften into twilight. The vibrant reds and greens softened into a deep, restful shade of twilight blue. "A nerve would have snapped that message across in a millisecond," Courier explained to her. "But as soon as the nerve stops firing, the message is completely gone forever." They gestured toward the peaceful, glowing map on the dark stone wall of the workshop. "Mine took the slow route, but look at the beautiful result of the journey. It did not just poke a single muscle or startle a sleeping nerve. It changed the atmosphere of the entire evening for the whole body. Slow mail does not flash and vanish into nothingness like a spark. It arrives, it stays, and it turns the whole system toward rest for hours." Mero watched the twilight blue map for a very long, quiet time. The ink-stained fingers on her wooden cane relaxed just a little bit. "You belong here," she said, her voice much softer than it had been before. Courier's very first student was a kid named Alex, who arrived in the sorting room mid-fret. Alex constantly tugged at their long sleeves, pacing back and forth across the stone floor. "I get sleepy when I do not want to be," Alex complained, frowning deeply at the floor. "And then I get absolutely starving out of nowhere, like a switch flipped in my gut. It feels like my own body is not even listening to me anymore." Courier opened their satchel and laid a wooden delivery game across the oak desk, setting up the pieces. The game board featured a small brass runner standing on a glowing circular track that wound through mountains. "Let us send some mail together," Courier said, sliding a wooden box of slips forward. "You are going to be the sender this time," they added with a gentle smile. "This little runner is about to start a very long, difficult race, so what does its body need?" Alex frowned, looking closely at the tiny brass figure standing on the track.
"I guess it needs some energy to run," Alex said, tapping their chin.
"So write the letter," Courier said, sliding a blank slip of paper over to them. Alex took the pencil and scrawled the words "release fuel" on the paper. They folded it up and set it gently onto the drifting air currents of the room. The paper floated across the board, sailing right past the runner's wooden legs. Finally, it clicked into a small brass gland located near the middle of the track. The runner instantly sped up, and the circular track glowed a bright, healthy green. "You did not grab the runner's leg and yank it," Courier pointed out. "You simply dropped a single letter into the bloodstream," they said with a nod. "The message traveled everywhere, but only the part with the matching keyhole opened it." Courier flipped over a small card on the edge of the desk and looked up. "Now the race is over," they said. "Send the next message." Alex thought for a second, then wrote "rest and repair" on a new slip before letting the paper go. The runner slowed down to a gentle walk, and a soft glow spread through the board. "That is the secret part nobody ever tells you," Courier said gently. "The sleepy feeling and the sudden hunger are not your body ignoring you. Those are simply important letters arriving exactly on time, written by a gland and carried by the blood. You never had to command a single muscle to do its job," they added as Alex stared at the board. "So my body has been mailing itself letters this entire time?" Alex asked, looking up with wide eyes. "All day, every single day," Courier said, smiling softly. "Grow, rest, eat, and stay steady," Courier said, gesturing to the quiet letters drifting through the room. "These are quiet letters, carried slow and opened only where they are truly needed."
When the busy workshop had finally emptied for the day, the room grew very quiet. The late afternoon sun cast long golden shadows across the dusty stone floor of the workshop. Alex came back inside, holding a small wooden token from the game in their hand. "When a message is just drifting around in there," they said, looking up at the ceiling, "and you cannot feel it moving yet, how do you know it is actually coming?" Courier thought about the lamp-lit sorting room of their childhood, back in the valley. They remembered the comforting weight of the heavy leather satchel resting on their shoulder. They thought of their grandfather's calloused, unhurried hands sorting the mail by the warm fire. "You do not watch for the message," Courier said, looking down at the young student. "Instead, you simply wait until you feel the letter land," they explained softly. "There is a moment when the right message finally reaches the right place in your body. Your whole self kind of settles down, like a held breath finally letting go. You feel sleepy at the right time, and you feel hungry at the right time. You feel calm because your body has exactly what it needs to survive." They looked out at the thousands of tiny letters drifting quietly through the warm air. "That settled, steady feeling is not just a matter of luck," Courier said. "It is simply the mail arriving exactly where it belongs, right on schedule. Your body is always quietly writing these important letters to itself to keep you safe." Alex nodded slowly, and Courier watched the tension finally leave the kid's shoulders. The constant nervous tugging at the long sleeves finally stopped as they relaxed. It was a body receiving its own kind letter and finally believing the message.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Courier. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.